This is After Hours programming on HRN. The views and opinions of this show do not reflect those of HeritageRadioNetwork.com, Heritage Foods USA, or any of our sponsors. Again, this is After Hours programming on HRN.
Gunwash News Time. It is 27 and freezing here in Bushwick, New York. I hope you all had a great holiday. So, a new type of real estate hitting us like an explosion. Stay tuned.
I'm living in Crown Heights. I was listening to Gunwash on my computer screen.
I'm not the supreme expert on cleaning guns, but I do know a little bit, and I'm just going to share my little tips and ideas with you.
Check. All right, well, okay.
Nice.
Gunwash Radio. My name's Aaron. You're on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. You know we're here every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. and I'm joined by Herbert Spliffington and all the people that are eating outside in front of me. So we all went away for the holidays, which was
Happy New Year, man.
Yeah, happy 2012. Mr. Jack Inslee actually had a get together at his house for New Year's.
It was a rager, man.
And as a fact, it was a rager. In fact, I think there's even some people still lingering in the studio now from the party.
Say what up, Christina.
So we have people here. Yeah. Cute girls and whatnot. So I got to tell you guys, I thought there was going to be no one here tonight, but actually we do have a couple special guests, one of which is Yerz Mula of the Gunwash team.
Gunwash.
How you feeling there, Armando?
I don't speak much nowadays.
That's fine. Okay, cool. Also in the house tonight, randomly, like really randomly, we have DJ Gravy, which is like an old friend of mine, which is like crazy that he's here. We're very happy to have him here. Crazy.
Yeah.
There he is. All right. That's crazy. Big time reggae DJ legend in the house. And to be honest, I really didn't write that much tonight because I don't. We do have a special guest tonight who is coming on in the second half. Actually, if you guys haven't read the Facebook or the Twitter, which is by the way at Gunwash, for those of you who use the Twitter, you'll see that the guest tonight is actually a friend of mine who does real estate in a very unique fashion. In fact, it's quite explosive. I'll use that joke for the second time in the evening. I went to the tree, the Christmas tree, Rockefeller Center, with my family, and I want to say that tree is gay. Tree is gay. It's very gay, and I don't see any decorations on that shit, and they put like Christmas. Yeah.
Christina has a question.
Okay, go ahead, Christina.
Aaron, I want to know if you want to go on a C-Funk date with me.
No. Can I talk about the C-Funk? Can I talk about C-Foam dreams? Was that you?
Oh.
That was you? I'll recognize you. Step lightly.
Can people still ice skate?
All right, so if you don't know. Yeah, if you don't know by the way, we had a caller the last 2 weeks. I'm finding out now that all the people that call Gunwash are actually just frauds. You know, they're just people that I know, and they're just pretending that they want to call Gunwash. And the reason they do that is because they know that I have really low self-esteem, and they want to help me do a better show and help me get my broadcast personality off the ground.
But we really do love you.
That's good. But Christina, if you had done the seafoam hair, very, very sexy. I got to tell you, Jack, the seafoam hair is all over the place now, by the way.
Yeah, man. I told
Everywhere
you.
I go. So we're the
I
gods.
I told you, man.
We're the gods of C-Punk music over here. If you don't know about C-Punk music, that's it. That's us. We're the gods right here.
But they may hate us, man. They were like, you know, they thought it was real negative.
C-Punk people hate me and Jack Inslee as James Bond fans hate Pierce Brosnan.
Can you think that's Martin McLean?
Not bad. That's not bad. That was a good analogy. I did really well on that section in the SAT.
That was off the top, too, right?
Really, really good. That was off the top, you know? Because who was the best guy was what? Connery, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Spliff is the guy to ask about that.
So Tech's sister is banging.
Man, you always give my shit.
Tech's sister is hot.
Thank you. Thank you. So we are actually expecting a call from Mr. Rectech, the Rec Technician. I saw him on the old Facebook, and he looked very, very healthy and a little bit chubby, and that's good. It's what I like to see, you know?
It's like those honey buns at night.
Honey buns at night. What is that what they gave you when you were away, Armando?
I refuse to eat honey buns, but...
Why do you refuse to eat honey buns?
Because I always wanted to sleep, and, you know, too much caffeine, I just felt like, you know what, I want to use my sleeping time.
Do they... When you were away, did they give you honey buns? Like,
if you had money,
how does that work? How does that work?
Your family will give you money.
No, but what I mean is, like, is there a store or what do you?
Yeah, you go to the store. It's called commissary, and you got to go every morning. Not every morning, like every Tuesday morning or some stupidness.
But what is there?
Cheez-Its. Products like that, you know, finger foods.
But you said they have like radios and stuff there too.
Oh yeah, right? You can buy a radio, you can buy
are there books there?
No.
So where do you get books?
People will send it to you.
Currency was canned mackerel, is that true?
Currency? Oh, you can get like if you have like a soup, you know, like those
instead of cigarettes,
this
you can use mackerel.
What's mackerel, like fish?
Yeah,
in a can.
People go crazy for the foods there. Like, you could actually trade in, like, soup for a phone call.
But, what?
It's called...
But does the food... Did they give you... When you go to, like... But there's food that you always get, right?
Yeah. Like, dinner is, like, at 4 in the afternoon. Just like,
You must be getting up at, like, 4 in the morning, then, that means.
Yeah, for breakfast, yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Can you go to sleep after they wake you up?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, well, that's okay. Then you can go back to sleep, I guess. But you probably get indigestion if you eat that food and go back to sleep, dude.
Yo, everyone's farts smell the same in there.
Yeah, you said that.
Crazy. Like, I sometimes I just think about it. I'm just like,
oh.
What would you say? What would you say is a typical lunch menu over there?
Bologna, or next day turkaroni, like macaroni with like turkey.
Macaroni
everything was everything was either soy or turkey.
Well, soy's good, right?
If it's like soy meatloaf, yeah.
What?
I was actually getting things that I couldn't feed my pet mouse. There, I had a pet mouse.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you had a pet mouse?
Yeah, I had a pet mouse, and
Did it keep you company?
Yeah, he used to wake me up for breakfast. Actually,
that's interesting. Well, I'm glad to see you're back safe. This is crazy.
Yeah.
We can talk about it a little more after the first segment. So, Spliffington, tonight, guys, remember, Ed Peden is our guest. He is a real estate agent from 20thCenturyCastles.com, also MissileBases.com. And you're going to learn a lot more about that after Spliffington. So, please. Interesting night. Interesting.
In the middle of
his mind. He'll bet $100,000 on the turn of a card because he don't believe in losing. And he's about to take on a small army with TNT. He means, 'tain't nothing to it. There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa. That Superfly dude is back, black and beautiful. He's twice as cool.
We'll be right back.
Oh. All right. Yeah. We're back on Gunwash Radio here on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We're here every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, we love getting calls, although the lines aren't always open. But tonight they are, and it is 718.
Are they open, though?
I would say so, right? They're open.
At least right now, I guess. Before
at this moment. Okay. Remember, call about the guest. You know, no, none of this, like, weird shit anymore. Everyone's, like, out of jail. Everyone's out of rehab. Now we can have, like, regular calls and have, like, a regular show. So, Jack, let me ask you a question. Did you know that Christina Cav was Sarah Seapunk? Or
yeah, man.
You knew? What?
I told her to say it, and that's why she said Spunk. She didn't know what the fuck Seapunk was,
well, she'll
obviously.
Learn. She's going to learn soon when the Wave Runner hits.
Exactly. She knows now. She knows. She's on board.
So, speaking of on board, I feel like we're kind of on a big ship right now. And speaking of big ships, I have this guy in the studio right now who I haven't seen in a while, and his name's DJ Gravy. What's going on, man?
Yeah, chilling, man. Chilling. Mm-hmm. That's good.
We're so honored to have you. Actually, you know what? We always talk about having you and maybe Max and, like, these other people come on, but we never follow through because we're, like, lazy and we don't know how to, like, communicate with people and stuff like that. I am saying that I am lazy. Spliffington is not. So what's going on, dude?
Yo, a lot of things, man. A lot of things. Good to be here, man. Shouts to all of you. Happy New Year. All that good stuff.
Oh, thank you, dude. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, we just did a Rice and Peas party the other night. And we got the next one coming up February 6th.
Where do you guys do those?
We've been doing it at Tammany Hall.
Oh, yeah.
On Orchard Street.
Everyone does.
I mean, it was at Sway for, you know,
sure,
like 3 years.
Sure.
Yeah. And, yeah, I've been working at largeup.com, you know.
Yeah, I see those posts. Largeup.com is rocks, dude.
Yo, thanks, man. Yeah, we're working really hard at that.
Is that an okay player offshoot or not?
We're affiliated, you know. It's like a partnership where they kind of... We're hosted on OK Player.
That's great.
So, and you know, we're doing our own thing, but we are also working with them on all kinds of crisscross type of cultural mishmash. We brought Shaggy and Patra.
Oh, wow.
And original Red Fox. Excuse me.
No, that's fine. You can clear your throat as much as you want here.
We brought Shaggy and Patra and Mr. Easy, Raven, Red Fox, all these bunch of artists with the Roots at our holiday party we did with OK Player weeks ago.
So are you doing mostly content for them, or are you doing are you like an ambassador to Caribbean music right now for them?
I mean, we're basically, it's a website that's just trying to fill a void where we feel like, you know, there's something really deep, more than just music, but like music and the whole lifestyle vibe from the Caribbean and its diaspora that's so influential and sort of so large, it's hard to grasp.
It's too large for people that listen to the music that's going on in New York don't grasp really how influential it really
is.
Yeah,
I mean, or even like how much, you know, hip hop is, you know, the hip hop's roots being like predominantly Caribbean, you know,
sure,
between like West Indian and like Puerto Rican and different stuff like that. Like, so we like having fun to, you know, highlight those crossroads there and interesting things and people and places that are happening, you know?
That's
so
great.
We got a call and it's not from rehab or Rikers Island.
And is it one of your friends or is it someone?
It's not my friend.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he's my friend.
All right. So Gunwash Radio, you're on the air with Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, it's your resident nuclear physicist.
Evan?
What's up?
What's up, dude? What's going on?
Not much. I'm excited for your guest.
I know. He's going to come on in a few minutes. In fact, you're causing me to digress, actually. I was going to introduce him.
Oh, well, that always happens.
Well, why don't you, Evan, like, listen for a little bit and then call
Why
in?
Why doesn't Evan tell us a little bit about missile silos?
Yeah, Evan, what's a missile silo?
A missile silo would be an underground concrete steel reinforced structure that was used to house anti-nuclear weaponry during the Cold War.
Well, Dan, didn't you say that? Didn't you say that now near where you live, where you used to live in Berkeley Heights, there was one, and your high school was sort of like...
That's right. Yeah, my high school.
Silo
right
High.
Next, directly next to a Nike missile site.
Did you guys have like a theme over there, like Nuke 'em High? Like it was like some trauma shit?
No. We were the Marching Highlanders.
See, I would have been like the, I don't know.
But I'm really intrigued by these because I'm curious to learn about, you know, what their structure or how they're structured, because they're able to withstand like nuclear blasts and stuff like that.
That's real,
like,
yeah.
Direct nuclear blasts. So it's really interesting, and there happens to be one for sale in the Adirondacks
right
now.
So that's the one that I'm looking at. So keep your fucking grubby hands off that shit, man. That's my shit. That's my shit, man.
I'm buying
that
shit.
All right, listen, so as we're going to elegantly take you out, because I'm going to start to talk about missile silos, Evan.
All right.
But you can call, after this guy, Ed, calls in, call again and talk about missile silos.
All right, yeah, maybe I'll have a good question.
Okay,
for
you look like a bat fetus, all right.
Okay.
Missile silos in the United States from the Cold War used to house bombs. Now they're not housing bombs, at least not the ones that we know about. I mean, there could be bombs everywhere. My friend Ed Peden and his wife, in 1995, moved into a missile silo near Topeka, Kansas. Shortly after that, there was so much media and so much attention they got about it that people started wanting to know, like, what the lifestyle of that was. Yeah, we gotta, like, get our shit together over here, man. We got, like, noises fucking playing everywhere while I'm like trying to do my monologue, man. Well, at least we can...
I had Ed on the phone, I mean, you know.
No!
Yeah.
That was him?
No. No, I had Ed on the cell phone. I'm just, you know, getting him ready.
Oh.
Getting him ready.
We got to get our shit together over here, man. I'm looking like an idiot, man.
Ed O's on a Teemo.
Ed's on the Teemo. Yo, this is Ed Peden with the 20th Century Castles. I'm on the Teemo, you know, talking about missile silos. Word. Okay, so 1995, missile silo, Ed Peden in Topeka, Kansas. Pretty soon, people were so interested in it that they decided they might as well make a business of it. And right now, this evening, after we get a very short musical break from our friend, we will indeed speak to the Pedens. You're on Gunwash Radio. My name's Aaron. Stay tuned. Missile silos. Remember, heritageradio.com, heritageradionetwork.com. Fucked it up. Oh.
When a man don't too feel good on a play side, a rocker's music now play your side. And I'll change the mood. When a man play too much old music.
No, man, you can't say that, man. You see people out there dance.
Press that echo, change the mood.
No, man, you can't do that, man.
You say that, take over this. Come out of it.
Right now we are tuning into your boss, DJ Dirty Aaron. This is a
Ed Peden. Ed, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. All the way in Topeka, Kansas. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing well.
I'm glad that you were able to join us. We are honored to have you on Gunwash.
Well, thank you.
So I guess we should start out by learning a little bit about you, or at least in relation to these types of properties and why you got interested in them.
Well, I have a degree in history and taught secondary school social science classes for 19 years and like that. And I think my exposure to history has caused me to look a bit deeper into some of the things that have happened and some of the cycles that are now repeating themselves in these times. And in the late 1970s, I read a book called The Limits of Growth, and I begin to realize that things were going to change in our society. And so I moved to the country and begin to look for, you know, interesting housing.
What were these trends or clues or things that you were seeing and that sort of prompted you towards a housing of all things?
Well, it's clear that some of the resources that we've been relying on to keep our society functioning, you know, peak oil, and that's just the beginning of it. There's many of these things we have been using in great excess, and they are in diminishing supply. Not only that, we've been redistributing these things into the environment as pollutants, and that doesn't bode well for our collective future. And so, and then historically, every time a nation moves toward empire, it always ends badly.
Everyone's sort of fending for themselves, in other words, yeah?
Yeah, and our society is clearly, we're in a state of empire. We have troops stationed all over the globe. We're very, very much militarized. And the society has changed so much since the Founding Fathers set things up for us.
So then I guess my question would be, other than... I guess my question is why... It seems obvious, but why underground bases? Well, first of all, I mean, these bases that we're talking about are not owned by the military anymore. Am I correct?
No. On my birthday in 1982, I happened to take the long way home and went out into the countryside and located this abandoned Atlas E missile base here west of Topeka, Kansas. And because I was a social scientist and teaching current events course and so forth, I was very interested in this. And when I saw it, I just could not forget about it. It was so large and so well built, so much concrete here, and it was absolutely deserted and ignored. It was flooded. The room I'm sitting in now had 8.5 feet of water in it.
But now,
when I first saw this property.
But now, wait, the room you're sitting in, though, is not underground.
It is underground.
Oh, okay. So everything's...
We're underground here in the Kansas Prairie.
Ay, yay, yay. Well, that's crazy. So how deep are we talking?
Well, it's not that deep. We have a 15-foot ceiling in here. It's a really kind of a grand room, and we're heating with a wood-burning fire.
I'm pretty sure I have like 7-foot ceilings, so yeah, that sounds...
Yeah, this is a 15-foot ceiling. And then there's 18 inches of concrete. Heavy reinforced concrete. It's a special heavy bag mix with a lot of resistance to blast. 18 inches of that overhead, and then 3 feet of earth over that. And this is one of the softer hardened sites compared to some others.
I find that fascinating. The fact, the amount of, well, first of all, as we know, things in older times were generally made heavier. That's, you know, the reason that the New York City subways still survive. They're made of iron or steel or whatever it is. I'm not an engineer. But it just seems so crazy. I mean, how to make one of these things in what year was yours made?
Okay, the construction here began in 1959. It was kind of a post-Sputnik reaction to, you know, show the Soviet Union that we were in the game of these intercontinental ballistic missiles. And they began construction in 1959. It was completed by 1961. The Atlas missile came in 61 and stayed here 4 years. It left in 1965. And the U.S. taxpayers paid $3.3 million for the structure I now live in.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And this was a cheapie compared to some of the other deeper, harder sites that we work with.
What kind of weapon were they putting in there to when they made it?
Okay, this housed an Atlas rocket with a range of 6,000 miles. It could strike most any place in the northern hemisphere. And it had a 4-megaton hydrogen bomb atop that missile. That's a lot of power.
That's a lot of firepower right there. That's fire in the belly right there.
Yeah.
So
in fact, this interesting calculation I made recently from a History Channel piece, the weapon that was dropped on Hiroshima in 1945 was 11.5 kiloton.
Okay.
That makes this missile or this nuclear weapon 320 times larger.
And you're living.
It's yield.
And that's your and that
Hiroshima bomb.
And that was in your living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're here where the weapon of mass destruction was housed.
That's excellent. How many of these are in the United States?
Well, I don't know. There's lots of them.
Apparently.
I've seen there's probably 1,500 at least remaining. They're not easy to destroy and get rid of. And, I mean, we are heavily armed with these kind of weapons.
You know, it's interesting to think about it. You know, if all these missile silos are, if there's 1,500 missile silos out there that are abandoned, that so let's just say that number's right, and, you know, there's no bombs in these missile silos, and they're up for grabs or what have you. I mean, it's clear that we still have weapons. And does that mean that we're making missile silos that are further down underground, or are we hiding them in different countries?
May I say, there would not be that many missile silos usable anymore.
Gotcha.
Everything that was decommissioned after 1965 had to be imploded by some of the treaty agreements with the former Soviet Union.
Oh,
so
okay.
The government went about destroying some of these multi-million-dollar structures that the taxpayers have been paying. If we remember, in 1961, President Eisenhower warned us about the growing power of the military-industrial complex. Well, that certainly has come to be.
I guess
and
so, yeah.
Huge amounts of money have been made by certain people in this industry, and all in the name of protecting the country, and yet it was never used. And so we find ourselves now in an incredible debt that nobody has the answer to.
I got the answer.
What's that?
Crystal meth. Can you launch rockets out of these, or were they just meant to house them?
No, this was a launch complex. It could be launched from this location, yes.
That's crazy. That's
now,
out
you gotta
of control.
Watch. If you say crazy three times, it becomes true. So be careful with it.
Oh. Ooh, I didn't know that rule.
Well, it's just a possibility.
So if I say that.
Oh, careful.
Oh, yeah, I'm not gonna say that word anymore.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. Thank
I'm
you.
Not gonna thank you. Thank
Please
you.
Stay with me.
No, thank you for telling me that rule, because I don't wanna get in trouble.
Yeah, you know, the power of the mind to manifest is immense.
The power of the mind is profound. And
absolutely.
I don't know if you like the dancing Wooly Masters?
I don't know what you're saying there.
The dancing Wooly Masters. It's a book that you should check out. It's great.
Okay, I don't know of that.
Yeah, I'll email it to you.
Oh, thank you.
So, what kind of people? Okay, so why did you want to sell these things? In other words, I guess you moved in right 1995 or so, right? And then
yeah, we moved in at about 93, and we had a fellow here in Kansas who also owned one of these sites. And he wanted to sell it. And he was moving out of state to take a job. And so he came to us and asked if we would help him sell his property. And all he wanted out of it was an amount to clear the banknote on it. And so we said, yes, we would try to do that. And we did sell the property and paid him what he wanted and made a nice profit over that.
Well, I would imagine so.
And we liked that, and it felt good. And so we began tracking down owners and selling more and more of these. Now we have closed 55 sales today.
55. 55 in how many years?
That's about 17 years of doing it.
Oh, wow. And you know those sales are big sales. I mean, I would imagine it's a little bit more complicated to close on a missile silo than it is to close on an apartment on Park Avenue.
Probably a bit more.
I'd say more than a bit more, actually. So the reason that I heard about this stuff, by the way, is through listening to Coast AM, and I know one of my heroes, Bob Lazar, told Art Bell that he had bought a missile silo. Are you familiar with it, with any of that, or no?
Well, I'm somewhat familiar with Coast to Coast, and I know I've heard that name Lazar before. I don't know a lot about that.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I think my producer is playing a little bit of Art Bell music in the background. Kemi.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So, what is? And now this is going to be the hardest question for me to ask you, Ed.
Okay.
What do these things cost?
Okay, we have sold sites as low as $40,000, $60,000 for a multi-million dollar decommissioned government structure. We have sites also for sale in the $2 million and $4 million range also.
Is it like the deeper they go, the more expensive they get?
Well, what's really happening is when somebody comes into one of these old structures, it's decommissioned and kind of rough, and it's been salvaged, and then they make it homey, restore the systems, the plumbing, the lighting, make it nice, and then it becomes very valuable.
Right, I would imagine so.
These structures will exist for hundreds and hundreds of years.
We consider
them the castles of the 20th century, you know, military structures, very strongly built to resist nuclear blast. And so they're very unique structures, and if they're taken control of and refurbished in a nice way, they become very valuable.
By the way, for listeners out there, if you want to find out more about this, you can always go to Ed's site, missilebases.com, missilebases.com.
Oh, thank you for that.
No, please. I, there's stuff in New York, right?
There is an incredible site in upstate New York in the Adirondack Park. It's an Atlas F site, and it's been very, very tastefully refurbished. I think it's the very best retrofit of one of these in the world, and it is for sale now. And it's on our website, and it's a very, very fine site. Actually, has a runway. It's kind of on an air park. There's hangars, and it's very nice.
Do a lot of these sites have landing strips and stuff like of that nature?
Some of them do. We have a landing strip here.
Oh, really?
So some of them do, some do not.
Are you a pilot?
Well, I've piloted ultralight aircraft, but I'm not a certified pilot.
I see. So what sort of clientele do you guys see? This is just so unique that it's hard for me to really see who I'd be a buyer, you know what I mean? But I don't, I'm not exactly ready to purchase a missile silo, but that's something that I'd be interested in. And I don't really know anyone that's really like me exactly. So I'm kind of wondering who's the kind of person that comes in to try to buy a missile silo.
Well, there's a lot of variety in our buyers. And there are some. We have sold probably about 5 sites for secure data storage.
Really?
Yeah, what happened there with the towers there in New York, many people became very nervous about storing data. There's some very critical financial records and other kind of records cannot be compromised. And so these hardened, nuclear-hardened structures off in the countryside are probably not going to be terrorist targets. And so some people have computers in there and are storing vast amounts of data. There's that group. Then there are others who are retiring and they just want to build a house and they want to have one of the world's most interesting basements. And then there are a number of people, especially in the last year or so, who are nervous.
Very nervous about the future. Really?
And so they are thinking that a hardened underground structure will offer them survival options.
How deep are we talking on, like, the deepest one you got?
Well, the Atlas F site, like that one in New York, has a silo that goes down 176 feet down.
176 feet. Wow, that's remarkable.
Yeah, and it's a big tube, 52 feet in diameter. And there's a lot of space in there.
Now there's pictures and videos on your site that listeners can go see. Yeah, that's correct.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, excellent. So are they generally made so that are there houses up top usually, or you got to build?
No, usually not. Not originally. Not
right.
In the government's plan.
Right.
But a lot of people are coming in and they're working with the underground, and it's so strong. I mean, these things are made to withstand nearby nuclear blasts
and you'd say
and survive.
You'd say that if we got hit with, say, like a new they could get hit with a huge bomb, in other words, and the contents within would be okay.
Well, a direct hit could be problematic.
Sure, yeah.
But anything even close, in close proximity, the site would be survivable. And it certainly would survive earthquakes and lots of other natural disasters. Here in Kansas, we do not worry about tornadoes.
You don't worry about tornadoes because of the missile silo?
Yeah, a tornado would not damage us underground here at all.
Oh, but it would hit your house, maybe.
Well, yeah, the things on the surface could be compromised.
But at least you have that kind of protection.
Yeah, we're very safe underground.
Now, do you use an elevator, or is it like, do you open up a hatch? I mean, I'm trying to sort of picture what it is.
We do have some escape hatches that open, and we can go in there. But usually we come in, this structure, we come in through a tunnel. There's a tunnel system.
A tunnel system.
Yeah, we have about 160 feet of tunnels that lead in here.
You know, I'm sort of trying to imagine how I would even furnish that much house.
We have kind of a garage sale motif here.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we're pretty simple people, and yet we are, you know, living in a very incredible structure. We have 18,000 square feet of floor space underground.
18,000 square feet of floor space.
And 2,000 square feet on the surface with a large greenhouse and a nice little apartment.
Oh, yeah, a greenhouse. I need one of those.
Some view and some sunlight.
Quality of life, you're loving it, right? You're living in a missile.
We're absolutely loving it.
I would too. I got to be honest with you. It sounds great to me, dude. I would love to live in a huge basement that goes. Hey, Jack, you want to live in a basement that goes down 140 feet?
I want to throw raves there, man.
Yeah. You ever think about having a big party yet?
Well, we had a very large New Year's Eve gathering.
Oh.
I don't know whether it was 80 or maybe as many as 100 people here. We did some drum circle and lots
of dancing.
It was good.
That sounds great. That sounds
fun.
Great. Listen to me say You know why? That's because I'm really, really taken aback by this kind of real estate. It's crazy. So as we're wrapping up, let me just ask you one question. Do you guys actively search for these sites, or do they just kind of pop up?
Well, some of both. We do try to track down owners, and we spend a lot of time finding the owners of these decommissioned properties, the earlier ones that have not been imploded, interest us most. And we know the ones that are really good for retrofit, and then some others are kind of troubled. But we have tracked down owners, and then there are others who find us on our website, and they own an underground structure, and they'll call us and want us to work with a sale. And so, you know, we just keep finding properties. I don't know if we have 6 or 8 properties for sale now, maybe 10. And we just keep working with them.
I would imagine the commission on something like that is so good, you can kind of just hang out and wait for those babies to sell.
Sometimes it's better than others, but it's not a commission. We take an option to buy at a price that the owner wants, and then we build some in above that and make a sale.
There you go. That's how you do it.
It's been good.
Well, you know, Ed, we're coming sort of towards the bottom of the hour, and I don't know, man. This has really been super informative. I'm in the market myself. When I have a close to $1 million, I'll make a down payment.
We look forward to working with you.
Well, we're gonna work together.
2012 is here.
2012 is here. So
it's time to pay close attention to the changes.
It is time to pay close attention to the changes. And I mean, I can tell that the Peden family has a head start on that.
We do.
Yeah. Well, Ed, listen, it's been incredible having you on. I really hope you can come back sometime soon. For all the listeners out there, if you want to check out what Ed's doing, which is astronomical, no pun intended, you can go to missilebases.com, and he has all his information and all his emails and everything and how you can apply right in there. And in fact, there's some videos and some pictures and ways you can check out these newly abandoned government sites. So my last question,
Aaron,
is,
thank you so much for your interest and your call.
No, this is great. And you know what's crazy is that our listener is just they're just in stitches over stuff, this kind of stuff like
I
that.
I bet so.
All right, Ed. Listen, man, you have a great new year, and I'll hit you up as soon as I'm ready to put a down payment up.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.
No problem, Edo. Bye. Edo, like from Family Matters. Edo. There you go. Whoa. So that was super good. And then look how quiet everyone was. You guys were really, really well behaved. You guys were very, very well behaved. This was... Okay, Kelly.
She has no mic.
So Kelly has no mic, but if you want to say into the mic really quick, say something. Just talk. Come on, man.
Hello.
Just, you've been whispering the whole time.
Well, you know, I don't know how to carry myself under, you know, the radio.
Right.
Anyway,
why don't you...
I really appreciated his enthusiasm about the thing. I mean, what he does, how he got into it, I think that was a really good question.
The guy hangs out in a basement and sells multi-million dollar homes like once every couple of months and sounds like he does a lot of fishing.
Oh, you know, he was a social studies teacher.
He's the greatest guy out. He's in the Great Guys Club.
Yeah.
And
he's in the Great Guys Club
for sure.
He took
his appreciation for history.
I'll ask a real question. Good guys, who are you?
Yeah. What's your passion?
How about Evan?
All right, listen. This was the first gun wash of 2012. Everyone,
oh, yeah, that
hey.
Too.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah.
Tonight we had Ed Peden from 20th Century Castles, missilebases.com. That was extremely informative, and I know you guys are going to go get missile bases. We had DJ Gravy, Spliffingins here. Armando is back in our lives. We're very happy. Everyone is safe. And we had
Hi, this is Moby, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
And Moby is on the dick. This is Gunwash Radio, Spliffington, if you'd like. Please come back next week, guys. HeritageRadio.com, HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Adios.
Fuck it up again.
Store. On the first day of Christmas, guess what Santa bring for me? A Glock, a Magnum, and a rusty M3. Rap-a-bam-bam, we don't wanna rap-a-bam-bam. Rap-a-bam-bam, we don't wanna rap-a-bam. Rap-a-bam-bam, we don't wanna rap-a-bam-bam. Rap-a-bam-bam, we don't wanna rap-a-bam-bam. What is the meaning of rap-a-bam-bam? Because they tell us the meaning of rap-a-bam-bam. Bam-bam, lick a shot out of the rap-a-bam-bam. A youth get trapped to the rap-a-bam-bam. One gone to prison through the rap-a-bam-bam. One a serve life sentence through the rap-a-bam-bam. When Santa come to town with long gun in a man, tell me Santa Claus where you a teach a youth man. Give him a guitar and a mic in a him. Make him go nice up stage show and make dance jam. And grow in a this world as a big musician. And travel over the globe and chant Rasta song. Rap-a-bam-bam, we no wanna rap-a-bam-bam. Rap-a-bam-bam, we no wanna rap-a-bam-bam.
Bad you see, look a boy, I talk about your bad boy. I like you, kill people. You see, you don't have to come. I want to put Mad Cabra talk for the 90s. Yeah, yeah, man. Me tell them where they might take up. How when me put down, go mass with your bama and your one house a gun. Me tell them where they might take up. How when me put down, go mass with your bama and your one world a gun. Me resign. assert no things me put down, but me will kill you with your bama and your one house a gun. Me resign, but me still have me strife. Come off of me gun and die, me will take you, me resign. I know you a talk to me, if you rap me go dig up. Me big mouth special, me tell them where them a take up. And when me put down, come ask with your bama and your one house a gun. Me tell them where them a take up. And when me put down, come ask with your bama and your one burn a gun. We a bad boy, we no left the Uzi. We a bad boy, no left out the big mouth special. We a bad boy, with the M16. We a bad boy, with the double clip magazine. We a bad boy, we clean me gun in your face. We a bad boy, you run like you a run race. Come!
Yeah man, you know me want to know. If I know the same thing, get to no act together. Can't pull John Paul no more. You me have to ask them, you me have to ask them. Yeah, you me want to know. If I know the same thing, give them a guess on what the hell them try. Me want to know if I know the same thing, give them a guess on what the hell them try. Too much gun talk, well at that them a say and them no stop. Show people pan scream right away. Too much gun talk, at that them a tell me and them no stop. Show people pan the movie crowd of people. Try understand and them a try them best. If I get a yard man macabre, I one thing me a ask, I feel ask this pan the people be have me want to know. If I know the same thing, give them a guess on what the hell them try. Me want to know if I know the same thing, give them a guess on what the hell them try. Because in the cinema them a show way, Chuck Norris no stop fire Jose, Clint Eastwood with the big mouth special. Pan the video them a show way, Sadomatical and them a show daily. No things with them a teach the children, the almighty one in no approve what them want to know.
Get out there like thunder, where we say. Where we say,
Turbo Belly strike once again. Word is on a trouble and a great problem. So the then them all go sentence we end.
Judgment we sing, the righteous have to make it.
Wicked have to fall, never know themselves until them back against the wall.
Righteous have to make it, wicked have to fall, never know themselves. Oy! After we take a look, look in a big crystal ball and see how the world have acted and all of all we see the end.
Never smoke no coke.
So you tell them, say, we tell them somebody run go call the weed man, cause we want a pound of weed for all the drunk place gang them. Somebody run go call the weed man, cause we want a pound of weed for all the firehouse gang. Cause when we spot the weed, it give we inspiration. Yeah, yeah.
We'll see the wicked and the great power. I spread like a green bed tree. But they shall cut off
my head. Football pong rock, I roll it bam board like Ludie and drop. Missing
him. MNT Ben, murder mission again. When my son came to war, son went back up and check up and check up and tell them say, it's like, hey, one son, two son, three son, four son, guys to go bury tomorrow. On this of the champion son, my selector live them life in a sorrow. Tell them say, top we no beg, we no lend. Shot off to echo, I'll shoot them bulletproof, some gunshot go. Bore up them body with some black rhino. Big and brave, young solid just so. Anyhow, one sound, two sound, three sound, four sound, guys to go very tomorrow.
How did you die? Did you tackle that trouble that came your way? With a resolute heart and cheerful, or hide your faith from the lawman with a craving soul and fearful? Oh, everybody call me the high plane drifter. Who me a search out the one bounty killer. He murder me mother, me father and brother. And he murder me 3 years. The news was a little daring. And him toss it in the Texas River. Him even shot the little dog named Clamper. Rob up the gold, diamond and silver people. The killer never know me did under the bed. Or else my blood surely will shed. He share up we heard and burn down the shed. Pack up we load and then him fled.
This one call the shadow. Some boy now go live the same tomorrow. Can't find the head now, the marrow. Who me say? Why you come and tell me same gun big, something little as me. Up in the world, a boy sit and get killed. Chill, still, hold a chill pill. Mind your little blood over spill again. Why you come and tell me same gun big, something little as me. Up in the world, a boy sit and get killed. Chill, still, hold a chill pill. Mind your little blood over spill. I want to know where some boy a meditate. See man with big guns and come talk about a fake. So man be calm and be devil and hurts me case. Then I search me the body, humble find the face. A Dean a gully body thump in a lake. Hey boy you shoot a thing before you come past your place. To your big mouth that's why your life gangsta take. Boy you bad when you want gym, boy you full time you wake. Come style man a spunk a big mistake you make. Big gun you shouldn't irritate. Me sing, why you come and tell me say ain't gone big so till it
I turn to my master God and them a lick shed. Me have to get flat. Why yoy, them a lick shed. Me have to get flat. Why yoy, the little league, them no responsibility. Them think me a idiot. I got to put a stop it to death. No aristocrat and them a lick shed. Me up to get black. Them a lick shed. Them a lick shed. Dollar mercy.
Anything that man me clean, give me gun.